Job chapter 23, reading verse 1 down to verse 10, and it will be, God willing, the first 10 that we want to make mention of today. Job chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. I'm backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Amen. We know the Lord's blessing on his word. And you even take those thoughts together at the end, really, of verse 9, verse 10. He hideth himself on the right hand. I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. And so with that, we want to look today that God knows what he is doing in my life. And I want this to be the theme, part of the theme of even this year, that whatever path we go down, always remember, God knows what he is doing in your life, in my life, in this situation. However painful it may be, however perplexing, however long it may be, we must have this now concrete before us. God knows what he is doing in my life. And so with God's word open, we'll seek the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and eternal God, we rejoice, Lord, we come to thy word. And Father, we thank thee for the instruction there is in thy word, even from men like Job, men who went through trials and troubles and tribulations, yet among it all they could see the sovereign hand of God. And Father, we ask of thee this day that thou wilt even draw us even to our Saviour. We thank thee we could say like Job, "My Redeemer liveth." And therefore, because he liveth, we rejoice, O God, he intercedes for us, and he has us on the palms of his hands. Lord, we pray thou wilt bless the ministry of thy word. Write thy word on every heart, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There is no doubt that Job is listed among believers who suffered under the burdens of life and also for righteousness' sake. You read Job's account and we find that Satan was accusing him before God, that Job only lives for God because of all the blessings that have been given to him. And if those blessings were to be taken away, then Satan's accusation would be this: Job would curse God. Satan was then permitted by God to touch all that Job had and then later touch him physically. But he could not take his life, for it is the Lord that giveth and the Lord who taketh away. Within the space of one day, Job went from joy to sorrow. Within the space of one day, Job's world was turned upside down. He lost his possessions. He lost his livestock and his 10 children. Added to Job's sufferings was his 3 friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, who turned out to be his 3 discouragers. One by one, they began to counsel Job with all the situations and the things that were happening to him, and they concluded that all the loss, the sorrow, and the suffering that he experienced was a result of continual sin in his life. They concluded that Job has been living in secret sin, and therefore the Lord is chastising him. But Job, as we read this account, he knows he has not committed any of these sins. He has not lived in open rebellion or living secret sin. Rather, Job knows he has been living for God. And while Job begins to answer these three friends and begins to answer their accusations, one of those we have read off this day, and Job basically concludes, while I don't know why all this is coming upon me, yet one thing I do know, God is in control, and God has a purpose for everything. Job focused upon the Lord. He could not explain what was happening in his life, but Job had full confidence that in his life, God knows what he is doing. Therefore, we can learn from Job's life, and we can conclude that God knows what he is doing in the lives of his people. And what God does in the lives of his people, and what God does in your life in this year and every day, it is for his glory and for your good. Maybe this new year of 2023, within the space of a day, or within the space of a short period of time, you may experience discouragements or suffering. Something may come one after the other in quick succession. But if you can testify as Job, I am not living in open rebellion. I'm not living in disobedience to God. My heart is not closed to the word of God. I'm in tune with the Lord in prayer. I'm walking with God. I enjoy close communion with the Lord. And yet this testing comes and you don't know why, and it is an anxious time, then you can conclude that these challenges, these tests, these trials, they are not chastisements, but they are chosen for you in Christ's likeness, conforming you to the image of his dear Son. The path that the Lord has laid before you is not to hurt you. The trials that come upon you are not to break you, but they are designed for you, for your spiritual growth, for your spiritual development, to get you back, to continue on and to go on and go forward with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so learn, in such times when we don't know what God is doing in our life, learn, God knows what he is doing in our life, because Job said, I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so with that before us, notice some simple thoughts. Job's acknowledgement that God knows what he is doing in his life. Job's acknowledgement that God knows what he is doing in his life. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. And I want that to burn within your heart. When you get some news this year, or something upsetting, or some financial bill, or whatever you want to mention, just go back and say this. Take a deep breath, seek the Lord in prayer, and say, he knoweth the way that I take. This is not a surprise to him. This is not a shock to him. He knoweth the way that I take. Notice some thoughts within this. Job acknowledges the Lord's person in his life. Because when Job says, he knoweth the way that I take, he dwells upon one of God's attributes, one of God's characteristics. Now, we're learning about the nature of God in our Wednesday night Bible study prayer meeting, and we will come through these one by one. But here, Job focuses upon the omniscience of the Lord. The omniscience. What does that mean? Well, the prefix omni, O-M-N-I, means all. And then the word science means knowledge. And so when you put this together, it gives the verb meaning to know. And the whole point of this word omniscience, all knowing, all knowledge, it means God is omniscient. God is all knowing. He knows everything. His knowledge, his understanding is eternal. Infinite, that means without restrictions, without limitations, and unchanging. There's nothing that occurs in Job's life or in your life that God does not know. How is that? Because he permits, he orders, he arranges every single event in our life. Learn this. Nothing happens in your life by chance, mistake, bad luck. It's not because you walked under a ladder or didn't touch the door 50 times or 100 times, whatever it may be. Oh, I need to run back in again. If I had to touch that another 2 times, this wouldn't have happened. No, God has planned our whole year. And therefore, from the beginning to the end and the end from the beginning, he knows every detail because he is all knowing. That's what Job says. He knows the way that I take because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows the path. He knows everything about Job. God's knowledge is sourced within himself. He is absolute knowledge. He needs none to counsel him. He needs none to instruct him. There's nothing new to God. Nothing catches him by surprise. There's nothing that will come into your life that will catch him off guard or he did not know about. He sees everything in one single view. His knowledge is perfect. He misses nothing. Psalm 147, verse 5, his understanding is infinite. And that word infinite, remember, that means no restrictions, no boundaries, unlimited. Our knowledge is what is termed as finite, limited. We're restricted. We don't know what will happen later on today. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, the next day, or the next month, or this year. We know nothing. But God knows everything. He'll know what will happen in 30 seconds, 1 minute, and whatever other calculations you can get that goes beyond my mind. But he knows everything. And nothing takes him by surprise. That's why Job can say, he knows the way that I take. Job's knowledge is weak. He misses things. He comes to wrong conclusions. He can't see the way ahead. And therefore, he can rest in the one who knows all things. And that's a knowledge, that's a truth that lifts up the downcast. Job in his suffering, Job in his pain, cannot look to self for answers. He certainly can't look to others for answers because they're accusing him of sin. But he can look to the one who knows the way ahead. He can look to the one who has all knowledge of everything. And therefore, he trusts in him. And therefore, in this unknown path, in 2023, learn and lean upon the Lord, for he will take care of you. Trust in him. And I trust even that very point will, after next week, whenever we get back to the Bible study on the doctrine of God, that will whet your appetite to either come to the meetings or to tune in online to watch it. But notice also Job acknowledges the Lord's protection in his life. The very fact that Job did not know the way ahead, or the very truth that only God knows the way, signifies the Lord's protection of his people. In other words, the Lord chooses in his eternal, infinite, and unchanging knowledge to guard us, protect us from knowing every single detail about the way ahead. The reason being, if the Lord right now was to reveal to you the way ahead for this year, yes, you would know all the blessings, You would know all the joys when they would come, but you would also know all the sorrow, the heartbreak, the bereavement, the backslidings, all the things that you would try to or not really want to know. You would know them all. And in a certain truth, you would find it hard to accept. I know last year, strange to say last year when it was only really yesterday, but last year, a dear minister, not from our denomination, but a dear minister found out just, I think, before Christmas, he said on the 20th of December, that he had cancer. And he found that out. But you can imagine being at the start of the year, on the 20th of December, you will have this sickness, this disease. You could imagine how you'd be the whole year around. And maybe someone in this room this year could have be afflicted with this. But even in that, the Lord knows every single detail. And again, we don't like to think about it. And that's the whole point we're getting at. Job did not know the way ahead. The Lord knew everything about his life. If Job had have known, or if we have known the way ahead, we would try to intervene. We would try to do something. For instance, in Job chapter 1, verses 14 to 19, Job's animals die. All his servants die. His seven sons and his three daughters die. Now, just in taking the death of his children, if Job knew in this certain time, in this certain day, your children are going to die, Job. They're going to be in this house. The wind's going to come, strong wind, going to blow upon the house. The house is going to cave in. Your children are going to die. Now, if Job knew all that, do you not think he would try to intervene? He's only human. He would try to do something. No, you just can't go to the house that day. No, no, or do go somewhere else. You would try to intervene. And that's what we would do. What about yourself? If you knew the way ahead, if you knew someone in your family would this year would be their death, husband, a wife, a child, mum, dad, or particular sickness, we don't like to think about it, do we? But it could happen. You would try to intervene, wouldn't you? You would try to do something. It's often been said, after people receive this terrible news or a death in the family or whatever it may be, you hear these words, if only I had been there. If only I hadn't gone to that place. If only I had acted sooner. And what begins to happen is you enter in to the boxing ring of trials and you get punched with guilt, doubt, depression, despair, what ifs, and much more, and you leave the ring battered and bruised. Therefore, the Lord has protected us from what lays ahead. And what he wants you to know, whatever does lay ahead, he knows it. He's in full control, and he knows the way that you take. And his grace will be sufficient. He will meet you at the point of your need. Because while Job's family died and possessions were taken, we learn at the end of the book, God doubled his blessings. God gave him back more children than he had at the start. God blessed Job in a remarkable way. So to know the way ahead for the rest of the week, month, year, it would cause us to stop living for the Lord. It would cause us to focus on the situation and not on the Savior. If we become obsessed and anxious about tomorrow, we will become distracted from Christ today. And therefore, the best way to prepare for the unknown future is to live for God today. Rejoice in Him today and know He knows the way that I take. Do what God wants you to do today. Glorify Him, live for Him, and He will prepare you for the way ahead. Live for Christ today, and let Christ take care of tomorrow. When Job lost his possessions, his livestock, his children, even when Job suffered physically, when he had all these boils over his body, and he was accused of living in sin by his three companions, even his wife, who should have been his supporter. Really, his wife should have been the one to say, Job, you know what, trust God, or Job, you know what, God knows what he's doing, just keep trusting in the Lord, as what a good wife should do, or a good husband if the other way. What does his wife do? She says, curse God and die. Curse God, Job. Blame him. But what did Job do? Job, we learn, when all this happens in his life, Job 1, verse 20 to 21, he fell down on the ground. And what's the next word? It doesn't say, and began to complain, and began to agree with everybody else. He fell upon the ground and worshipped. There he honors the Lord. He magnifies the Lord. He gets before the Lord and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Others began to charge God foolishly. Others began to instruct Job to charge God foolishly. Blame God. Say God doesn't know what he's doing. But Job was a man filled with the Spirit of God. And Job, instead of complaining, he began to get to prayer and acknowledge the Lord and his situation. And he did not sin, and he did not charge God foolishly. You see, before Job experienced this, that was after. What was Job doing before this? It's interesting, isn't it, to find out here, after the trials, after the bereavement, he worships God. But what did he do before? Job chapter 1, verse 5, in that morning, Job gets the sacrifice together. Remember, we're learning in the tabernacle about the sacrifice. And we learned, didn't we, a few weeks ago about the brazen altar. And what happens at the brazen altar? That's the place of the shedding of blood. That's the place the animal is presented as a sacrifice and is offered on to God. And there's prayer offered upon the ground of the blood, and all typified the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what does Job do in Job chapter 1, verse 5? Well, Job chapter 1, verse 5, we learn that he is, let me just flick back here, Job went out and sanctified them early and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job offered up a sacrifice. Job had gone to the place of prayer, and he prayed for his children on the ground of his blood. And therefore, just as a side note, parents, keep praying for your children. If they're not saved, pray for them that this will be the year that God will save them. Pray for their spiritual growth. If they are saved, pray this will be a year when God will deal with them and motivate them and stir them up in spiritual growth. But the point I'm making is this. Job was a man of prayer. He prayed on the ground of the blood. He sought the Lord in prayer. And then after, when the trial came, when the bereavement came, the sorrow came, Job still got back to prayer. He continued seeking the Lord. Job looked by faith to Christ. He was depending upon the life Christ would live for him and the death that Christ would die for him. And so keeping a prayer life helped Job not to fall apart. And therefore, seek the Lord in prayer, because prayer is part of preparation for what lays ahead. When you're on talking terms with God, then when these trials come, when these troubles come, you'll get back to prayer, and you'll still can pray on, and you'll be able to understand, he knows the way that I take. Job acknowledges the Lord's protection in his life. God had spared him from knowing all this, but he learned to trust the Lord through it. Notice, Job acknowledges the Lord's path for his life. He knoweth the way that I take. The word path, or the word way, means path, means journey, means road, means distance. You could say, he knoweth the path that I take. He knoweth the journey that I take. He knoweth the road that I take. He knoweth the distance that I take. Isn't that wonderful? Job never expected his children to die as they did. He never expected the sores to cover his body. He did not know how long the road of suffering would last. He didn't know how long it would be until it came to an end, this particular trial. Yet the Lord knew the way ahead. The Lord knew the distance. The Lord knew how long it would last. And through it all, his Savior led him. God knows what he is doing in the furnace of affliction, because God appoints it and God permits it. God permitted this situation in Job's life. God permitted this journey. God permitted this path. God permitted this distance. Because the longer it lasted, the more Job knew of God's presence and God's power and God's attributes. He learned more of the Savior in his trials. And you have some of the most wonderful statements in all Scripture about God through the life of Job. And many of them we've looked at in our study already in the doctrine of God. And here is one of them. Through it all, through this path, through this journey, through this road, however long it would take, Job says, he knoweth the way, the journey, the path, the distance, the road that I take, however long it may be, however hard it may be. He knoweth every detail of it. He knew when I entered it, and he knows when I will end it. And so Job trusts in his Lord. Not once does he bend to his friends or to his wife's ear to curse God. He continues to trust in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 23 can apply to Job's situation. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered, arranged, appointed by the Lord. It would be right to say that when situations arise in our life in 2023, health issues, setbacks, the rising of costs, discouragements, troubles, trials, we count them unexpected. We count them as coming upon us suddenly, yet they don't come upon the Lord suddenly. And so we must always remind ourselves that while we don't understand the way ahead, the journey ahead, the road ahead, the Lord knows the road that we will take, the journey that we will take. Psalm 139, verse 3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. You see, just as the Lord knows your ways, it draws us to Christ, because Christ's own path was appointed for him. The journey was appointed to him from his birth right to his death. Right through his life, he was rejected, falsely accused, tempted by Satan to blaspheme God, suffering shame, pain. Even those closest to him forsook him. And yet his own path was appointed for him. He went to the cross for his people. He's gone within the field to show that there's victory through his life, through his death, through his resurrection. And as the Lord has gone before his people, the ultimate path that he leads is home to glory. Because Job could say, through this all, my Redeemer liveth. And he knew he would see his Savior again. But notice, secondly, briefly, Job's assessment that God knows what he is doing in his life. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, that word tried means to examine, means to scrutinize, means to investigate, means to prove. And notice Job said, when he hath tried me, not if or maybe, rather, when he hath tried me. That means trials are guaranteed in the Christian life. In 2023, trials and troubles are guaranteed in this life. But again, you can rest in Psalm 11, verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous. He testeth, he proveth the righteous. He scrutinizes, he investigates. Again, Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job was that perfect and upright one. He feared God, and he escheweth evil. He departed from evil. He didn't get involved in it. Job 1, verse 3. He was the greatest of all men in the East. So Job is a great man, a godly man, a man who honors God, who fears the Lord. Yet he walks in the valley experiences. Job's faith was tested and tried to show it was true faith, genuine faith. Every heavenly examination is ordered and set by the Lord. No matter how big, no matter how small, short or long, little things may annoy us. Maybe you are easy annoyed. Maybe you are quick to panic. Maybe when trouble comes, you are one of those who falls apart. As the expression goes, you run around like a headless chicken. You just don't know what to do. And the Lord, when he sends us trials and tribulations, it is to strengthen those areas that when we fear, when we panic, when we are easily annoyed, it's to turn to him and rest upon him. These are not sent to destroy us or to get us a better attitude. Rather, they are sent to prepare us for greater growth and greater blessings, to know there's victory through him. God never sends trials or tests to destroy us. Rather, they are designed and appointed by God to make us holier Christians, to grow in grace and to bring us closer to the Lord, to depend upon him, because without him, we can do nothing. We need him every hour. We need him every day. Throughout the road, throughout the journey, throughout the course, we need the Lord. We think of our Savior, the only mediator between God and man. His life was scrutinized. His life was investigated. His life was examined. Remember, he is the one typified by that sacrificial worship, the animal being offered to God. Remember, the animal had to be without blemish, perfect, in order to be offered as a sacrifice. And therefore, it was tested, it was examined, it was proved to make sure it was perfect, outwardly and inwardly, in order to offer on to God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, his life was scrutinized by men, but yet never man spake like this man. His life was examined by men, yet it was said, this man is a just man. He has done nothing amiss. And therefore he could offer himself to God without spot. And so just as you will be tried, believer, when he hath tried me, notice your Savior was tried. Your Savior was examined. Your Savior is that man of sorrows. He's gone that way before you, prepared that way for you. And as our great high priest, he has now entered into heaven where he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he knows every heartbreak. He knows every tear. He knows every fear, every worry. But he knows the way that has been appointed by you, for you. And therefore, his grace will be sufficient. You've a man in the glory. You've a man who prays for you, the man Christ Jesus. And when he's tried you, when he's examined you, when he's scrutinized you, it will be for you to learn that He knows the way that you take, and he does all things well. Notice finally, Job's assurance that God knows what he's doing in his life. Because when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job was assured that what God was doing in his life and the path that God had chosen for his life would lead to his purification. Or, as Job says, he shall come forth as gold. Remember, gold was a precious metal. And so Job says, I shall come forth as gold. Not maybe, not I hope so. Not God's going to test me to throw me aside. Rather, he tests me for Christ likeness, for growth, for purification. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The hymn writer said this here, the song, How Firm a Foundation. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. You see, Job says, when he hath, I shall come forth as gold. Gold, as that metal, was tried, examined, scrutinized in the fire with strong heat. And once in the fire, and once in the flames, the dross or the impurities of that metal was exposed and it rose to the top. And then it was skimmed off the top. And then once that was done, the goldsmith could look at the gold and see his own reflection. Proverbs 25, verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And so it is, believer, our life will be tested, scrutinized, examined in the fire of adversity, in the fires of sorrow, in the flames of sorrow, in the flames of affliction, whatever it may be, not to destroy us, but to expose impurities, to expose dross in order to purify our lives. Those things that are not needed, those things that are weighing us down, those things that are hindering us, causing us not to shine, will be removed away. And then the Lord, our lives, he will be seen through our lives. Job was assured that God plans and permits every detail in his life. And when he hath tried me, or let me just say, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, examined me, proved me, investigated my life, I shall come forth as gold. I'll come forth shining. I'll come forth with the reflection of my Savior, that through my sorrow, through my life, Christ will be seen. And that's what our desire is, that Christ will be conformed in our own image. We'll be conformed to Christ's own image in this brand new year. So child of God, whatever the Lord has for you this year, whatever trial, trouble, whatever comes our way as a congregation or individually, keep before you, he knows the way that you take. And when he tries you, you will come forth as gold. And may the Lord write up his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.